Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have Mike Crawford from the Young Jerks joining us now, and we have a lot to go over here. First up, Mike, before we get into the Boston Police Chief's recent statement about Kelly Dever and the Karen Reed trial, and we're going to play a lot of that sound for the listeners who may have not caught it yet. I first would love to get your reaction to Sergeant Yuri Bukenik being removed from the DA's office and placed on desk duty, and also Shannon Burgess's profile on the Aperture website disappearing. I don't think there's any question this is the Karen Reed effect at play, but do we think we'll see more of this? Is this part of reform? Does this make you happy to see that something is happening as far as accountability goes, or is this all just posturing from the powers that be?
Well, I think it remains to be seen if it's posturing, but I'm happy to see it. And I think it's exciting. There's memes out now, how many folks have gone down, resigned, been rehomed. It's endless now. And I think Yuri definitely deserved it, but I want more transparency on why. We want to know why. Why did they decide to do this? Who made the decision? Was it the state police colonel who ultimately made, obviously, the decision, I'm assuming? But did D.A. Morrissey have anything to do with it? We'd love to know the reasons why, you know, and to see if there's more to this, because I feel like they should be investigating a lot more into this entire situation. So, yeah, I like it happened, you know, and hoping to see more. So,
yeah, we're getting some critical details about the Karen Reed trial and how much was spent on it. Obviously, we know this was a very expensive, I think the most expensive OUI case in the history of Massachusetts. But Christina Rex from WBZ yesterday put out that from November 1st, 2024 to June 8th, 2025, Hank Brennan, who is obviously the lead prosecutor in this case, was paid $566,000 for his prosecution in the Karen Reed retrial. What first is your opinion of that price tag, Mike? And have you heard from other people who watch your show, who follow Turtle Boy, who I know who you spoke to recently? What do people make of that price point for Hank Brennan's performance?
It's huge. Attorney Bedro just posted about it as well. 566,000 reasons why Hank wasn't independent of defending Michael Morrissey. That's what this whole prosecution was. Most expensive OUI conviction in the history. We're just talking 566 for Hank. There's also 400,000 for Aperture. Again, you talked about Shannon Burgess, who lost his job. They spent over $400,000 there. There's the police details. We're talking millions of dollars for an OUI conviction, and no transparency, no accountability on what they actually did here. So I'm glad the reporters are finally, the Boston media is finally doing their job with a lot of this. And that's what's exciting to see is now we get to see where the chip's going to fall when the Boston media, besides Howie's phenomenal. I love the column he just put out. So excited about the latest Howie Carr column. But it's nice to see the TV media start digging in on this stuff too.
Yeah, and speaking of that latest column, I did want to ask you about Aidan Carney and what could come out now that he's involved in his own lawsuit or situation case, I should say. And this is a problem for Michael Morrissey. This could be very embarrassing for him. And for Norfolk County, which has already dealt with a lot of embarrassing information coming out. But now we have these emails and texts that are being impounded by the judge in the Turtle Boy case. What do you expect to see here?
We're expecting to see a Bedero letter. Aidan Carney was on my show 2 nights ago, talked about a new Bedero letter. Bedero letters have been amazing, and apparently Bedero told Aidan this one would be nuclear. This would be the biggest yet. So I'm expecting a Bedero letter, hopefully next week. Hopefully it does get released to the public. and I expect it to be about all of that, and possibly about Jean from Dorchester. She signed an affidavit, made some extraordinary claims. Howie named the woman she made claims about, Kate Peter, in the column today. So all of it, I expect this to be explosive. And I raised this question to Aiden the other night. Do you think there's a chance they drop the charges against you? Like Hank Brennan, when he didn't come back and do his rebuttal in the Karen Reed trial right at the end, because it was self-preservation, they are at great danger, I believe, and being exposed. The further they push on Turtle Boy and Aiden, he's got phenomenal lawyers, Attorney Bedereau and Attorney Bradel, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really, before it was seemed very tense, and now it seems more like we're getting disclosure. We're going to find out what's going on here very soon.
Yeah, and this week when Aiden was in court in Dedham, he was asking the judge in this case, Michael Doolin, to release some of these emails from impoundment. What do you think of this judge, Superior Court Judge Michael Doolin, and do you think he will release it? I know he's dragging his feet, but how important is it for Turtle Boy's defense that people are able to see these emails?
I think it's very helpful for everybody. The public should have a right to know what's really going on here. So I think that's why it's so important. And I think this judge seems very fair. He seems very smart, sharp, on the point, makes decisions quickly. He's going to give the prosecution a few more weeks, but that's it. You know, and what I even asked Aiden this, what could the prosecution say on why they want to block this? What reason could they have not to reveal what's in those emails, especially knowing Aiden Kearney knows what's in those emails. His attorneys knows what's in those emails and text messages. So, and I'm sure the judge is going to have an inkling too. So I have a feeling this is going to go in favor of Aiden Kearney.
Yeah, I think you're on the right path there. I'm speaking with Mike Crawford from the Young Jerks. All right, so this is the part of the interview that's going to require a little bit of sound because I want everyone to be able to understand exactly what we're going into. So Kelly Dever, I would say, had one of the worst performances on the stand during the Karen Reed retrial. She was extremely combative with Alan Jackson. She was very, very defensive. She was actually the one who he mispronounced her name at one point, and she took that as a major blow to her ego. And one of those back and forths had to do with a conversation that she had with the Boston Police Department Commissioner Michael Cox. I want to play a flashback here of Kelly Dever, and then we will play Michael Cox's statement on Kelly Dever's performance during this trial. But first, this is a flashback of Kelly Dever with Alan Jackson.
Did you tell the defense that when you were called up to the commissioner's office, we told you two things? Commissioner Cox told you, number one, the Boston Police Department supports you, and Officer Dever, do the right thing.
So he said my name correctly? He said Dever, and...
That's my mistake. Let's see, you want me to repeat the question so I get it right?
So, Mr. Jackson, let's go ahead and answer, please.
Yes, and he said nothing with the intent of guiding me one way or the other.
I asked you what his intent was, madam. I asked you what he said to you. What were his words to you?
That he supports me.
And?
Just wanted me to tell the truth up here.
And his words were, do the right thing, right?
I don't recall.
Okay, so that was a really memorable moment from Kelly Dever. And the BPD commissioner, Michael Cox, was asked about this by WCVB. Let's first play cut six.
Your name came up during the recent Karen Reed trial. You got a visit from Officer Kelly Dever. The defense implied that you influenced her testimony. Do you want to respond to that?
I have nothing to do with Karen Reed. Matter of fact, I didn't even know this person was associated with a Karen Reed case. You know, I have an organization full of over 3,000 people, and we support all our folks. And the reality is that, I get information passed on, whether it's people are high or low, and I encourage everyone, right? And if you're going to work here and you belong here, then we're going to encourage you. I have no idea what they're talking about with Karen Reed. It had nothing to do with Karen Reed.
And did you tell Officer Dever to do the right thing?
I didn't know she was even associated with that case. So, I don't know. I was struck, what do I have to do with the Karen Reed race? I never have said those words together. And so the fact is, it's much to do about nothing. We have employees here that we have to develop and encourage and do things, and I do that for tons of our employees.
Do you feel that you were inappropriately drawn into this as some sort of boogeyman?
That case is over, and you know, we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. I have nothing to do with Karen Reed.
Mike, I know you have. We're good here.
Thank you.
Mike, I know you have very strong feelings on this cut, and you've been posting about it. You've been looking forward to talking about it on the show. Give us your take on those comments from Michael Cox.
Man, I felt like he, you know, it felt like Bill Clinton. Remember Bill Clinton? I didn't have relations with that lady. That's the way it felt like. And someone posted a meme about that as well. And it's just, you know, why did he meet with her? He doesn't have much disclosure on why he met with her. And how often does he meet with first-year officers? You know, he admitted he met with her, but he's denying he said anything to her. It's very suspicious. His demeanor, too, his smiling. And if you see the video, it's very strange. And you could tell that they wanted him not to speak on that. You know, that was the end of the presser. That was the last question. So it's funny. So. Yeah, we want more disclosure. Why was he meeting with her? How often does he meet with first-year police officers?
Yeah, I think that there's so many questions involved here, and I agree with you. You can hear his handlers at the end there trying to wrap this up, and I'm getting this sense that everyone is just hoping, which actually kind of plays into what we were just talking about with Turtle Boy's case. Everyone is just hoping that this will now go away. It's such an embarrassment for all of these different agencies, for all of these different organizations, and they're kind of like, they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, and they're really just hoping and praying that the media will let up and drop it, and so they can move on. And that might be another reason why, to your point, that Turtle Boy might actually, it bodes well for him, because this thing stinks to the high heavens, and everybody, the more they go after him, the more people are going to focus on this and ask more questions.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that they have to know, is this is not going away. This is not going away until Morrissey goes away. He's maybe running for re-election. Two of the candidates in the race have asked him to resign. And, you know, these are attorneys. These are not unserious people running against him for re-election. So this is not going away. So they have to recognize that. And I can't believe the police commissioner kind of nonchalantly like thought this is over. It's not over. There's more interest in this than ever before, actually. So they need to adjust.
Yeah. And I notice this with a lot of higher ups now, whether it's politicians or just, you know, people who are running agencies or have these powerful positions, where they make the mistake of kind of minimizing people's interest or outrage over something. And they kind of give you the, oh, well, you know, you're still talking about that. Who cares about that? The case is over. And that's a recipe for disaster, too, Mike, because that's not how you handle it. If people feel as though they've had the wool pulled over their eyes or you're lying to them, that's a problem for you. It doesn't matter if it's a month after the verdict or 2 months after the verdict or 2 years after the verdict. That's an issue. Mike Crawford from The Young Jerks. Everybody follow him at The Young Jerks. It's J-U-R-K-S. I know we'll have you in studio next week, Mike. Looking forward to that. And thank you for your time, sir. One of the most common questions that J.J. Manning auctioneers get asked is, why would someone ever auction their real estate? Why don't they just list it for sale? Well, the answer is, when you sign on with J.J. Manning auctioneers, you actually are listing your property for sale. You're listing your property for an auction sale. And there are so many positives to that. In a J.J. Manning auction, for example, you bypass the exhausting negotiations. You bypass the weasel clauses. You sell your property as is and contingency free. This means no contingencies for inspections, for financing, for anything else that could change the deal. And so for the no-nonsense thinker, like my listeners, auctions is the most efficient way to sell your valuable real estate. And you set the terms, you sell contingency-free, and you pick the day it closes. J.J. Manning works with estates, businesses, families, builders, bankers, real estate brokers, and anyone who wants their real estate sold today. The waiting game is over. So here are some upcoming auctions. August 20th, a home in Lincoln, Mass. On almost 3 acres. August 22nd, a two-family with an in-law apartment in Somerville. And September 17th, a home in the Oak Bluff section of the Vineyard. So if you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. James Comer and others are trying their best to shed some light on the Biden decline cover-up. I don't think we're ever going to get answers. Like, there, and I don't feel that way about everything. There are some investigations that are opened, or there are some mysteries that are still out there, like the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, that I think we could find out more. We could get to the bottom of this, maybe. But Joe Biden and that cover-up, it seems as though everyone's really, really not interested in talking. And the funny thing about that is it's kind of like what we were saying with Derek Hunter with the Epstein case, where at one point all these people were not only speaking about Joe Biden's cognitive state, they were definitive about it. They were telling us how great he was. He's the sharpest man you've ever seen. No one can beat him. No one beats the Wiz. He was Socratic. He was reading giant leather-bound books. And he was sniffing every head that came within a mile radius. He couldn't be stopped. They couldn't say enough nice things. Do you think you could ride on a train for 30 hours sitting down? I think not. And they were always going, whether it was KJP or Jen Psaki or any of them, they were always saying to the reporters, I can't keep up with this guy, you know? I consider myself in pretty good shape, and I can't keep up with him. He's just so, so spry. And now all those same people, they don't want to comment. Now that all I'm saying is, hey, you had no issue telling us all these things. Just say it again. Like, if you stand by it, tell us again how smart he is. Tell us again how no one, the 30-year-old staffers, couldn't keep up.
How's an old guy do that?
We're just asking for a little bit of confirmation, really. That's all people want. And I also just wanted to mention here that I just said Jen Psaki, but I got some bad news for Jen. Jen Psaki is struggling. She took over for Rachel Maddow, and it's not going well.
Struggling.
Fox has a story out. They love, Fox crushes the ratings, so they love to put up stories about the other networks and how much they suck. I respect it. I think it's a good move. Said Psaki saw an increased role as part of MSNBC's overhaul. The briefing with Jen Psaki averaged 1.1 million total viewers from its May 6th debut through July 3rd, losing 44% of the 1.8 million that Maddow pulled in at 9 p.m. Tuesday through Fridays. So she's lost 44%. Now, over at CNN, things are looking a little bit better only because of Scott Jennings. And I wanted to play this cut of him. This cracks me up. This is with Karen Finney. She's, you know, going on this tangent about how her and all of her conservative friends were trying to stop Donald Trump. Scott puts an end to this conversation pretty quick. Cut three.
I remember sitting at a meeting leading up to this election. I've got Bill Kristol sitting here. I've got, you know, former friends, conservatives from across the aisle. We were all aligned in how do we defeat Trump. It was a meeting.
How did it work out?
You know what, Scott?
Just ask. I mean,
all right.
You know what, I know I'm a fangirl. I am. I never thought I'd see the day where a real conservative is on CNN. What I really appreciate about Scott is that he's the only one on these panels who makes good points, but he's also the only one who has the capability. He has the ability to laugh, to have a laugh occasionally. These people are not only stupid, they're miserable. And you know, Abby Phillips is the moderator of that panel, and I'm going to tell you what her real job is. It's not to moderate a panel. Her job is to interrupt Scott Jennings if he ever goes on a roll and to try to run cover for these moronic Democrat panelists who can't hold a candle to this guy. It's a beautiful thing. We got Woker Joke coming up next. Get on the lines, my friends. See you in a minute.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
You can vote in today's poll question at gracecurlyshow.com. It's been 1 year since the attempted assassination of Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Are you satisfied with what has been released about the incident?
No, I'm not. And Susan Crabtree, who I believe Jared is going to be on Howie's show.
She'll be on the second hour of the Howie Carr Show today.
She put out a multi-paragraph post on her Twitter account about what we know so far about these six agents who were suspended without pay for 42 days, which... I guess in the world of these federal agencies, like that's the greatest punishment one could ever expect. And she said, inexperienced agents positioned for failure and a more senior agent who spoke out about the ambiguity about the roof coverage, according to Secret Service sources and congressional testimony, are taking the fall. And there does seem to be this element of we were sending people in, and we heard about this right after the fact. Again, we're almost a year out from what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, what never should have happened to begin with. There was this idea that they were staffed. They were low staffed because of Jill Biden, right? She had an event that day. And so they were kind of bringing in people who would typically have, let's say, 5 days to figure out a game plan, who only had 2 days, or people who wouldn't typically be doing something like this, but they were thrown on this mission to protect the president. Very up in the air, kind of chaotic. And actually, Helen Comparatore, Corey Comparatore's wife, the widow of that lovely, by all accounts, man who was killed by Thomas Crooks, she was on television today, and you can still, I mean, she's still going through so much pain. You can hear it in her voice. And she was asking about the roof coverage, and she had so many questions. And I'm like, what the hell? Why can't we get some definitive answers on what happened here, besides the fact that, hey, we suspended six guys or six people without pay for 42 days? That doesn't tell me what I want to know. So I'm saying, no, we don't have nearly enough answers.
97% of the audience agrees. No, we do not.
What do you think, Taylor, when you look back on that, was what sticks out? Because for me, the thing I keep remembering is the point where they said one of the agents was on the other agent's shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
That for some reason, like he was trying to get onto the roof via the shoulders of another agent, burned into my memory. But other things have faded over time.
I mean, just the fact that it happened. They couldn't identify how the kid got there. They couldn't identify how he was able to get on the roof and get access to the building in the first place. And he had actually scoped out the kind of how everything was working. So he knew exactly when during the shift change he could get onto the building and take place. And then he was able to point a gun at the secret, or was it the local police or the Secret Service? Local police, I believe. He was able to point a gun at them when they confronted them, and the police stood down.
Yeah, there was so much. And the fact that no one just said to Trump, give us 15 minutes, like something's going on here, give us, because there was a lot of communication. It wasn't through the proper channels, I don't think. I think they've tried to improve it since. But there was communication that something's going on here, and they still sent Trump out. And now they're saying, well, we've changed up the drone game since this happened. We have a lot more drones. I'm like, that's not good enough. None of this is good enough. When you are in charge of protecting the president and he gets shot in the head, there has to be reform. Doesn't even cover what needs to happen. Buying more drones is not the solution here.
And he was in the rally earlier with a rangefinder too, right?
There were so many red flags.
You don't have eyes on him continuously.
Yeah, this is one of those, you know, and I doubt we're ever going to get all the answers, but we definitely deserve more than we're getting right now. Woke or Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. A gift card to Aviva Trattoria is the perfect gift for any occasion. So go to AvivaTrattoria.com and don't forget to make reservations, to call, to check out the menu. They have so many delicious things there. So AvivaTrattoria.com. Hit it, Jared.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Pink haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
Have to choke.
paws on me.
We are laughing.
All right, you guys know how this works. Taylor's going to read you a headline. You have to decide, is it woke as in it's real, or is it a joke? Did we make it up out of whole cloth? Let's start with Johnny. You're up first on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Johnny?
I am ready.
All right, Johnny, here is your headline. Indie music now too mainstream for hipsters who now flock to top 40 hits in ironic twist.
I'm going to say joke.
That is a joke, yes.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
I turned on the top 40 station the other day.
That must be like your kryptonite.
Oh, my God. I can't get into it. I just can't do it.
You start sweating.
It was like, how woke can you get?
What, with the music?
Yes. I instantly knew. I only heard like three lyrics.
Do you think they're even making it nowadays, or are they just plugging things into AI and it's coming out with a tune they know is going to catch people's attention?
No, this was, I forget what her name was. One of those weird names.
Charlie XCX.
Something like that.
They all sound like, yeah, Elon Musk kids.
They all sound like
just a series of numbers.
Or some sort of medication
that you're
supposed to take. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to like the top 40 hits.
Well, that's the... No, I don't.
Well, why do you do it? Is it like when people watch CNN to just happening and get themselves upset?
I used to work at a station that was right next to a top 40 station, and I still have friends that work at that top 40 station, so I check in once in a while and listen to them. And
you're so good.
Well, I'm a good friend.
I'm a good person.
So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time.
All right, let's go to Peter. You're up next. Are you ready for your headline, Peter?
I'm getting two feeds. I'm getting your 40-second lag along with what you're saying.
Great. Thanks for the technical diagnosis. Here we are. Here's your headline. Poll, 36% of millennial New Yorkers think city-run grocery stores equals free food.
That's definitely woke.
It's not. It's a joke.
Oh,
probably
sorry.
That delay threw you off.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Yikes. Friday, Taylor's mean. I mean,
if you got the app going and you're also calling in, maybe turn one of them off.
Don't be afraid, Peter. You can call back. He's just in a mood right now. You know what? I told you today that I watched that documentary, The Poop Cruise.
Yes.
Which I actually, you
this is part of a series that Netflix is doing called Trainwrecked.
Yeah. And you told me, you're like, it's very mediocre, not really worth watching.
Meh.
But that's actually kind of my bread and butter. I love a mediocre documentary.
Dude, watch the Rob Ford one.
I will.
That guy was a G.
But this one, with all the people on the cruise and the poop bags and everything else.
Big, massive dumps.
It was disgusting. It was crazy what was going on this cruise. This happened, I think, in 2013. And you know what part I did like? I liked when they showed one of the crew members and they were showing all the people. They're getting so angry. Because, you know, people on cruises, they really, a lot of it is, the appeal is the food. It's just constant food. And they were running out of food. They were giving them, like, sloppy sandwiches. It was like Fyre Fest, but on a boat.
Right.
And she said, it's
probably better than Fyre Fest.
She said, it's nice to see these Americans understand what it's like in Soviet Union. This is what it's like every day.
You're on a cruise.
I loved it, though, because she's right. She's like, this is, you all think all this stuff is great until you actually are living it on this cruise, and then suddenly, not so fun anymore. Jim, you're up next. If you haven't watched Trainwreck Poop Cruise, I'm gonna suggest it. I'm going to say, if you're not too squeamish, maybe give it a go.
I would suggest the Rob Ford one.
You can watch both. I mean, people have so much spare time nowadays.
Watch one, watch another one on a 40-second delay.
Jim, you're up next. Are you ready for your headline, Jim?
I am. Hey, Taylor.
Hey.
Hey, Grace. Hey, I told you my brother was coming to the show last week, and he just couldn't make it, so I apologize.
Oh, that's too bad.
My brother.
That's okay, Jim. I'm sure
we'll at some point.
We'll
get in there another time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Jim, here is your headline. What does boofing progesterone mean, and how do you do it safely?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to say that's woke.
That is woke. That's true.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
All right, Dr. Cormier, fill us in. What is this?
So
I'm scared.
Boofing, I guess. I knew it as a different term.
Me too.
Like from the Supreme Court Kavanaugh hearings. Do you remember?
Oh, he meant it as farting.
Correct.
I thought there was another term for it.
There is. I didn't know this one, but it's you're basically taking your medicine rectally.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Well, oh, you have a different one?
No, I could understand how that's where they go with it.
Okay. You might have heard slang terms. I haven't. Maybe if you listen to Top 40 stations, you'll hear terms like boofing your prog used.
Especially you're just saying sounds. There's sounds.
When discussing hormone replacement therapy, I guess this is how people are taking their HRTs, their progesterone. They are shoving it up there.
Got it. Understood. I don't think we need to go any further. Ed, you've had plenty of people before you. I'm rooting for you. Don't let
you
me down.
No, you put Thank him in you. A... This is a bad position for him to be in because now we've had both wokes and jokes.
Well, you know, we can't... The whole world can't revolve around Ed all the time. Okay? He's going to have to deal with it.
Well, somebody else is in a mood, too. All right. Ed, here is your headline. Representation matters. Barbie launches first doll with type 1 diabetes.
Oh, my God. You know, I hope that's a joke, but I'm going to say woke.
Ed, you're right. It is woke.
Ooh, good one, Ed.
Yes!
Good one, Ed.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
I do want to try to get to everybody here, so I'm going to go to Tony next. Tony, you're up. Are you ready for your headline, Tony?
Ready.
Tony, here is your headline. AI grief bots helping people chat with lost loved ones.
Woke.
That one is also true.
From beyond?
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Kind of.
Do
like...
we have to do every episode of Black Mirror?
Yeah, it's really...
Can we skip some?
I've heard people are using AI now for their therapists.
You can upload like writings and videos of your dear departed to this algorithm or whatever it is, and they have chatbots that will mimic your deceased friend or family member, and it will have
but
a conversation
you know,
with you.
You know that it's not real.
Grace, how many times do I come on Woke or Joke with a headline like guy proposes to his AI girlfriend,
and you know what? Whatever
and
helps,
he breaks down into tears.
Whatever helps people get
that
through.
That is the wrong attitude to take.
Kevin, you're up next. You're last up here on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Kevin?
I sure am, and I'm in a bad position.
All right, Kevin, here is your headline. French University art installation attacks white males to mark Equality Month.
Well, it's the French, so I'll say it's woke.
That is true. Good, very good deduction.
Good.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
This is the Ed Markey exhibit. Very good, Kevin. Thank you for playing.
You're
thank
white.
You, Taylor.
You've been effing.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad you're here because I want to talk about Raycons, because this is the time when you want to drown it out. As you guys can probably tell, Taylor is not in his best mood today, but if he puts on his Raycons, he doesn't have to listen to anybody, and then he doesn't have to get annoyed. And when you're listening to your Raycons, Taylor, you're not listening to top 40 hits. You're listening to the oldest stuff known to man, the first sounds that were ever created.
No, that's you. You listen to rain falling.
Yeah, well, that's timeless. But what are you classic. Listening to is more importantly. And tell us about the quality of these earbuds, because that's where I'm always very impressed with Raycons.
I listen to all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've got an eclectic taste of music that I enjoy on a rotation. Sometimes I get in a groove. I've been listening to some Alan Sherman lately. I'll get into Randy Newman. I'll get into all old country music, Waylon Jennings, even stuff before that, all kinds of stuff. But
you can't put them in a box.
No, you cannot. But I put on my Raycons to listen to them exclusively when I'm doing yard work or I'm at the gym or whatever, just driving around. It's the best because it's got great audio quality. I can control the settings. I can customize the equalizers to whatever type of music I'm listening to. Even if it's a podcast or something, you can use the equalizer to boost the sound for podcasts. Active noise canceling is clutch when I'm mowing the lawn or at the gym and I don't want to hear anybody else's music or the lawnmower. Whatever it is, Raycon is there.
And I know how much I love my Raycons because if I ever forget them, the level of frustrated I get. That's always a good sign when you can't live without a product.
Definitely a mood dampener.
So go to buyraycon.com/curly to get 15% off Raycon's best-selling everyday earbuds. Right now, Raycon is offering 15% off their best-selling everyday earbuds only at buyraycon.com/curly. That's buyraycon.com/curly. Thank you, Taylor. We'll be right back with Howie Carr.
Out of touch, they're out of time.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
I'll tell you a little simple language. 1 year ago, our country was a dead country. We were going nowhere except down. We were the laughing stock all over the world. And now we're the hottest country anywhere in the world.
That was Donald Trump this morning before heading to Texas to tour the flood damage there. The Car Crossover is brought to you by ReadyWise. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. Get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Trump said a year ago the country was dead. Also a year ago, he was almost killed by Thomas Crooks, the assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania. Howie, Susan Crabtree is coming on your show today. What are some of these new details that are emerging?
Well, they've suspended six members of the Secret Service for between 10 and 45 days without pay. And I mean, I guess they hired lawyers and they got it down from 52 days. But I mean, if you screw up and almost let a president get assassinated, I mean, seems like it should be more than 45 days. And there are all these disputes, you know, who's responsible. Was it the Pittsburgh office? Was it the Trump detail? And, you know, she's got really good sources. That's why I want to get her on. And, you know, she the New York Post picked up some of the story, and they talked to the widow of the guy who was killed. And you know, they did a good job, but I guess they kind of got things a little bollocked up. You know how that is sometimes. You know, you write a story and you've been into it. And you saw what they didn't do the greatest job with the Karen Reed stuff, just kind of parachuting in from time to time.
Yeah, it's hard to get into the weeds if you haven't been there yet.
Right. So she's doing more stuff trying to straighten it out. And you know what I've always wondered is, wasn't the initial mistake made? You know, they had Jill Biden was in the area, Western Pennsylvania, that same day. She's in at a country club in an enclosed pavilion. Seems like that's pretty easy to defend. But they had like four times as many agents with her in an easily defensible area, as opposed to just a wide open area with tens of thousands of people. And all these low-riding buildings.
Yeah, one of the things she mentioned, I think it was one of the sniper guys who would typically get 5 days to kind of plot out his plan to protect the president, only had two. I don't really blame these agents for feeling like you set us up for failure. You brought us in on short notice. You weren't running this properly.
Right.
And now the heads are saying, well, we can't fire our way out of this. Well, I would like to see somebody get fired.
Right. Well, I mean, the woman who was running it, who sucked up to the Bidens, I mean, she got fired. But, I mean, obviously she was going to go. She was pitiful. And I don't know. I mean, none of the people who were really with him that are in the iconic photographs, none of them got fired or suspended.
Yeah, it just seems like it's going to be one of these things where, like everything else, Epstein, everything, we don't get any answers.
I want to know more about this guy, Crooks, too. I mean, we still don't. I mean, you can't tell me the guy's 19 years old and he has no social media presence.
Yeah, I don't buy that for a second. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got Susan Crabtree talking Secret Service as we're almost a year out from Trump's very scary moment in Butler, Pennsylvania.
I can't remember crazier times in my lifetime. Now more than ever.